The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman here at TruthNewsNet.org as we continue our quest to determine who is going to be the Democrat that will run against either President Trump or another Republican candidate in the 2020 general election, the run for the White House. You know, when I was a much younger guy and who should be the next president, discussions began among my parents and their friends. Their consensus pick was always the candidate who, in their collective opinion, was the most qualified for the job. The qualification qualifier is still very important, but in many cases that qualifier no longer is simply political prowess, knowledge, and life history that proves the capability of a candidate to serve as president. Now it seems presidential choices must be weighted toward women over men, toward people of color over white candidates, those who are pro-abortion as contrasted to those opposed to abortion, etc. And it seems a list of litmus tests for determination of who is qualified to serve seems to be getting longer and longer. It seems to many that 2020 may be the year for someone who fits one of the preferred classes from that list above to go to the White House. And to that end, the senator from New York might just be the most qualified from that list to head to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And of course, we're speaking about New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. If one watches the very public actions of leftists in general, like various cause demonstrations, midterm election campaign appearances, rallies, interviews for liberal causes, seeing Kirsten Gillibrand is going to happen more often. She is forceful, very consistent, and dogmatic about the liberal political agenda. Matters like same-sex marriage, abortion, all of the IST words and phobias, open borders, women's rights, and hiking taxes on the wealthy. She is demonstrative with her malice for President Trump, too. In today's divisive political America, Kirsten Gillibrand may just be the perfect poster girl for Democrats. Whoops, I forgot. I said poster girl. And of course, that's sexist. Well, who is Kirsten Gillibrand? She was born December 9th, 1966, is an American attorney and a politician, of course, serving as the junior United States Senator from New York and doing so since January of 2009. She previously held the position of U.S. Representative for New York's 20th Congressional District from 2007 until her Senate appointment. In December of 2008, President-elect Obama nominated second-term incumbent U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton. Of course, she was then the senator from New York, nominated as U.S. Secretary of State, leaving an empty seat in the Senate. New York Governor David Paterson appointed Gillibrand to fill the vacancy. She was sworn in as a U.S. Senator on January 26th of 2009. Gillibrand was required to run in a special election in 2010 to keep her seat. She won that election with 63% of the vote. She was reelected to a full six-year term in 2012 with 72% of the vote, receiving a higher percentage than any other statewide candidate in New York in history. In 2018, she received 67% of the vote. During her Senate tenure, Gillibrand has been outspoken on issues like sexual assault in the military and also sexual harassment in general. Let's look quickly at her early life. Where'd she come from? Kirsten Elizabeth Rutnick was born in Albany, New York, as we said, December the 9th, 1966. Both her parents are attorneys, and her father has also worked as a lobbyist. Her parents divorced in the late 80s. She has one older brother and one younger sister. Her maternal grandmother is Dorothy Polly Noonan, a founder of the Albany Democratic Women's Club that has been a mainstay of Democrats in politics in Albany for decades. During her childhood and college years, Gillibrand used the nickname Tina. She began using her birth name Kirsten a few years after law school. In 1984, she graduated from Emma Willard School, an all-women's private school located in Troy, New York, and enrolled at Dartmouth College. That's in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Gillibrand majored in Asian studies, studying in both Beijing and Taiwan. She graduated magna cum laude in 1988. During college, Gillibrand interned at Republican U.S. Senator Alphonse D'Amato's Albany office. Gillibrand received her J.D. from UCLA School of Law and passed the bar exam in 91. In 91, she joined the Manhattan-based law firm of Davis, Polk & Wardwell as an associate. The next year, she took a leave from Davis, Polk to serve as a law clerk to Judge Roger Miner on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit Court in Albany. Gillibrand's tenure at Davis Polk is best known for her work as a defense attorney for Philip Morris during major litigation, including both civil lawsuits and U.S. Justice Department criminal and civil racketeering probes. She became a senior associate while working on Philip Morris litigation. Following her times there at Davis Polk, Gillibrand served as special counsel to Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Andrew Cuomo during the last year of the Clinton administration. In 1999, Gillibrand began working on Hillary Clinton's 2000 U.S. Senate campaign, focusing on campaigning to young women and encouraging them to join the effort. Many of those women later worked on Gillibrand's campaigns. She and Clinton became close during the election, with Clinton becoming something of a mentor to the young attorney. Gillibrand donated more than $12,000 to Clinton's Senate campaigns. She considered running for office in 2004, and that was going to be in New York's 20th Congressional District against a three-term Republican incumbent, John Sweeney. However, Hillary believed circumstances would be more favorable in 2006 and advised her to wait until then. In that 06 election campaign against Sweeney, a lot of contentious campaigning was underway, scandals on the part of the Republican doomed his re-election bid, and Gillibrand won the congressional seat with 53% of the vote. In 08, she won her re-election with 60% of the vote, defeating former New York Secretary of State. Gillibrand and D.C. quickly joined the Blue Dog Coalition, a group of moderate conservative Democrats. She served on numerous House committees until, after 1 year of her second term in the House, she moved across the hall to the Senate after Hillary's departure to become Obama's Secretary of State. So, there's the early history. We'll get her up to speed. Now she's in Washington, D.C. She's actually no longer a member of Congress, the House of Representatives. She's across the aisle in the Senate building. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in current politics. She is a firebrand. Gillibrand has taken the approach to attack almost every Trump administration agenda item that's put forward. Unfortunately for many of her supporters, her consternation with the president and his ideas has become personal. The presumption for her doing so goes all the way back several years when the two had some very public interaction. It was reported that before his run for president, Gillibrand made frequent attempts to meet with Trump for the purpose of securing his support for her political campaigns, in other words, Trump dollars. Neither has spoken about the specifics of any of those meetings. But the New York senator has become an aggressive supporter on the campaign trail for women's rights too, and to fight sexual misconduct. Gillibrand also recently said she thought Bill Clinton should have resigned in the face of his own sexual misconduct allegations, and she was the first senator to call for fellow Democratic Senator Al Franken from Minnesota to step down amid his alleged sexual allegations. Early on the Trump administration, Gillibrand joined other Democrats that had decided to go after the president on many fronts to find ways to discredit his presidency and even a hope to push him out of office. She publicly on numerous occasions suggested that he resign. After one such instance, he tweeted that as a New York senator, she would, quote, do anything for campaign contributions, which many took to be sexually suggestive. It's difficult to imagine a bigger gift when it comes to raising Gillibrand's profile in national politics, and especially in advance of a possible 2020 run for the Democratic nomination, than to have Donald Trump get after you, which he did. Many Democrats in Washington have begun to accept her as something of a spokesperson for women's causes. In the opinions of many political pundits, she and her support of these causes is building a base for a 2020 run for the White House. She has begun to even discuss Democrat Party messaging to potential voters, even talking about Trump messaging methods that were successful for him in 2020.
Why do you think Democrats have struggled with appealing to white middle-class workers?
You know, I think if the question you're asking is why did President Trump win, I have a theory. You know, President Trump ran on a couple of Democratic messages. He just ran on them well. His first message really was the system's rigged, and the system is rigged. That was a message that was our message.
He won with it.
I got it. He stole our message. Did he mean it? Has he done anything to reward work in this country? Has he done anything to change the shift away from just share value and towards investing in employees? No.
But the president seems to still be steering the conversation. Every time he tweets, mm-hmm. there's a frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's his thing.
Do you worry that this message that you have is getting lost in the noise
of that?
Well,
that's my job. I have to speak out to my constituents to prove to them that I'm working for them, to show that I have a vision to make this economy stronger, to talk about ways to reward their hard work so they can provide for their kids, to get the cost of health care down, to push for things like Medicare for All. That's my job.
Her visit to 60 Minutes and those comments there sure sound to me a whole lot like those of a presidential candidate. It's conversations like that one on the set of 60 Minutes that makes a lot of people feel like she is indeed going to be a candidate for president in 2020. Now, in all of these conversations, as you heard there at the end of that one, she ends them all drawing a bullseye on guess who? Donald Trump. It seems her principal target in almost all of these appearances is Donald Trump. In addition to the normal roadblocks that come with running for president, however, Gillibrand, because of her demonstrative voice in the Democrat Party, is watched very closely in her messaging. And she sometimes tends to be a bit of a loose cannon in some things she says. In a recent speech, as an example, she cited a string of inaccurate economic statistics in an attempt to cast doubt on the health of the economy during a speech at the National Action Network Conference. Gillibrand told the gathered audience several stats about the unemployment rates for African American men and women, but a Washington Post fact check found all three statistics she cited were incorrect. When they declare victory at 4% unemployment, it's not good enough, Gillibrand said in that speech. Because 4% unemployment means an 8 or 9% unemployment rate in some cities for black women. It means a 16% unemployment rate for black men. It means young veterans coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan, a 20% unemployment rate. So our work really isn't done. Well, as of October of this year, the unemployment rate was 3.7%, the lowest it has been since December of 69. This is lower than the rounded up figure of 4% cited by Gillibrand, but the main issue arises from her citation of statistics on black unemployment. The Bureau of Labor Statistics found in October of 2018 that the unemployment rate for black men was 6.2%, not 16, like Gillibrand claimed. That same study of unemployment rates found that the unemployment rate for black women was 4.9%, not 8 or 9%, as she claimed. When asked about these statistics, Gillibrand's spokesperson, Alex Phillips, said that Gillibrand accidentally dropped young from her speech and meant to refer to the unemployment rates of young black men and young black women. On the issue of veterans, Gillibrand's statistic also missed the mark. The Bureau of Labor Statistics found that young veterans between the ages of 18 and 24 had an unemployment rate of 12.6%, lower than Gillibrand's claim of 20%. Veterans between the age of 25 and 34 reported an unemployment rate of 1.9%. Phillips claimed Gillibrand misspoke the stat off the cuff. Just imagine if that's Donald Trump. He would be blasted in the mainstream media. And of course, if Gillibrand runs for president, we may hear some of those quotes brought back up. That remains to be seen. When fact-checking her use of these statistics, the Washington Post concluded, somehow Gillibrand managed to mangle three statistics in three consecutive sentences before a large audience. If you are trying to make the case that you can provide better economic stewardship, you need to get numbers right the first time. Will Gillibrand run in 2020? Got some thoughts on that. Sit tight. Back in just a moment at the Truth News Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars.
It,
what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
It, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm.
Mm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Partisan spin?
Not here.
Identity politics?
Go somewhere else.
This is TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan Newman.
Is Gillibrand going to run in 2020? That's a million-dollar question. In the context of a large number of those who are rumored to be considering a 2020 run for the White House, it is at least 6 months premature to make a call on a possible Gillibrand run, even though she is right in the thick of things that go on every day in Washington, D.C. As uncanny as it may sound, she seems totally immersed in serious considerations in doing so, primarily because of her not-too-subtle feud with Donald Trump. If that is really what's driving her plans regarding a run, she may find herself running up against a brick wall. Donald Trump, as we all know, is fairly proficient at creating and perpetuating pretty nasty conflict with anybody that gets in his way. And people are finding out that his doing so is pretty much very purposeful and targeted. His queen's messaging can be and is most often pretty crude. It would be tough for Gillibrand to take over the process that the president has seemed to have perfected, using social media to bypass traditional news methods of reaching Americans. Now, Gillibrand, obviously, if she runs, and quite honestly, any Democrat that runs, is going to have a pass on everything in the national news media. And of course, the liberal left news media has pretty much become a weaponized unofficial arm of the Democrat Party, and she would have the positive use of that mainstream media in any run she would make for the White House. Gillibrand has already attempted a number of times to subtly play the victim card in her conflicts with Mr. Trump, and that has not worked very effectively for her so far. But she's kind of still a newbie on the national political scene, but she's proven to be astute in navigating through the Potomac political environment so far. Time and an actual run in the primaries are the only way to show if she can maintain such a fight. When asked by Stephen Colbert about the rumor she would run for the presidency in 2020, Gillibrand said, quote, "I believe it is a moral question for me. And as I've traveled across my state, across this country, for all these candidates," she was speaking, of course, about the midterms, I've seen the hatred and division that President Trump has put out into our country, and it has called me to fight as hard as I possibly can to restore the moral compass of this country. So I will promise you, I will give it a long, hard thought of consideration. Boy, that statement was full of the dog whistle of Democrats, moral compass and fighting for the little guy. That's a story for another day. My gut suggests that Gillibrand may, at least at this point, be a little too passionate against political issues while not yet offering political positions to change current policies. It's one thing to rail against the policies of President Trump, but it's another thing to rail against those policies but offer different opportunities to move. She also seems to freely offer facts, as in the statistics she and Eric quoted that we detailed above, that are not really facts. One would expect the media to take a potential presidential candidate to task for committing such faux pas, but of course she's a Democrat, and she is a she. For those, a candidate is often given a pass by the media, and certainly she'll get them for that story, and she'll get them if she becomes a candidate for president. Presidential campaign season seems to get longer and longer every 4 years, doesn't it? Could Gillibrand survive such grueling several years? Only time will tell if she has the heart and the fortitude for doing so. The last New York senator to tackle that task was beat up pretty bad. Hillary Clinton, as the most widely known female politician, was an odds-on favorite to win the presidency in 2016. She had run two previous times unsuccessfully. Hillary failed to live in the White House as president because of three losses in her bids for the presidency. Certainly those losses weigh heavily into any decision by Gillibrand to take that step. And as we say, only time will tell. That's a wrap on Kirsten Gillibrand's run for the White House. You'll want to keep these stories. These are going to be stories because they're full of biographical and statistical information on each of these candidates that we're talking about. Whether or not the candidate that you think we're going to predict will face the Republican in 2020 is Kirsten Gillibrand, you'll want to be able to reference back to everything we said historically and biographically about whoever that candidate is. And you'll know that you heard it first at the Truth News Network. Thank you for joining us. Who's next? Lots of potential Democrat presidential candidates left to analyze, and you'll get the truth about each of them at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper?
Never fear.
TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone.
Catch up with the latest news
during your busy day.
The Truth News Network. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.